If you would, join me please at 1 Peter chapter 5. I don't know if you have noticed of late the sense of this is enough to make a grown man cry. It was pointed out again this week in different venues, but something I've noticed for a while is there seems to be such a lethal attitude. The more I think about it strikes me as being the attitude of the age, which amounts to a deadly kind of indifference. Now you think about that in the world of politics, for example, or commerce. Think about that in the homes. Think about it in the church. It's not anything new, but it seems to me like it's becoming more full-bodied, more prevalent. Very conspicuous. Now there's an antidote for that we have, as we'll look at here in a moment. But if you struggle over the expression of that attitude, think about maybe some of these terms. Oftentimes you will hear in response to a circumstance, somebody will say, "So what?" So what? Or on another occasion, going back and forth, an individual finally just sit up and say, "It just doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter." And a couple of one-worders made popular by the entertainment industry, you know, like whatever, you know, or somebody might say, "Whoop-de-doo," you know. Just seems to me like a disconnected, pathetic response to either a conversation ongoing or applied to a particular circumstance individuals observing. Or someone might invoke that now famous saying, which we can hope and pray be the famous last words of an individual. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Somebody just might be out with it when you're going on and on and on about something. I don't care. I don't care. Let me give you a couple of for instances. But please, before we go anywhere, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is the antidote, because we've got to begin with this, that no matter what things may appear to be to us, God cares. God is never indifferent. Now there have been and there will be times when God, by his own declaration, has determined that he will turn his back on individuals after a due course. He did so in Noah's day. He will do it again in the judgment time that's coming. He will do it individually and has done it individually when people, as we would say, they've sinned away their day of grace. They finally reached the limits, and God will just turn his back on them. Now, ordinarily and customarily, when we look at verse 7, the verse says, "Casting all your care upon him," the declaration is he careth for you. He will never be indifferent to you. You will never hear God saying, "So what?" to circumstances going on in your life. You will never ever get the sense from God that he does not care. You will never come to a place where you will be able to conscientiously say, where you think that your life doesn't make any difference to God. You'll never hear that. Now, let me share with you a couple of places in the scripture where on three occasions an individual demonstrated indifference. John chapter 10, verse number 13. You have the mention of the hireling in John 10, verse 13. Somebody read the verse for me.
"The hireling flesh, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep."
Okay, the hireling flees because why? What does the verse say? He cares not for the sheep. He cares not for the sheep. So there will be times and have been times where people who have been charged with the protection of the sheep just don't care. Just don't care. Now that may be manifested in a number of ways. You take it in a church relationship. You remember we go back into the early days of our nation's founding, where there was such a desperation on the part of church leaders that they began to abandon biblical scruples in order to swell the attendees in their services by the halfway covenant. You should recognize too that the whole concept of infant baptism, or baptism that is in which unbelievers participate, is another vehicle whereby those in leadership demonstrate their hireling nature because they are willing to sacrifice God's truth in order to achieve another end for appearance sake. Pharisees were like that. You know, they did a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, there's the Lord Jesus pointed out different times where, oh, they love to be seen on the street corner with their flowing robes and long prayers and all their regalia. They love to be called by their academic names for appearance sake. They didn't care. They did not care about those that they should have been watching over. They didn't care. Then there is another one in John chapter 12, verse 6. Arrive there, somebody get that one and read it for me. John 12, verse 6. Somebody read it.
This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag.
And who would that be referencing? Judas. He didn't care about the poor people. He cared about what he was carrying and how it might serve his interest. But he did not care about other people. Now Jesus' operating theme was it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus, he took note of the poor around him. He said, the poor you will always have with you. He didn't diss them. He acknowledged that they would always be there, implying that there would always be a venue in which to serve their interests. Rather, Judas, because he carried the bag, he didn't care about the people. He carried about the sum of money. And there was, I think there was an instance too where there was money spent by, the very expensive alabaster box. And the complaint was that could have been sold. And where do you suppose he was liking it to be winding up? In the bag. Then there is, and this, listen, I know you've probably seen this over and over again. Every time I see it, I just crawl out of my skin. Where some poor soul is getting the stuffings beat out of them in public. And while it's going on, the people who are passing by on the sidewalk don't stop. They just look, take a little picture with their little phone, and keep on moving. And meanwhile, the person down on the sidewalk getting their face broke. Nobody intervenes. They don't care. Well, you have Acts 18, and I think it's verse number 17. Read me that one. Acts 18, 17. Am I at the right place? Somebody's getting the snot beat out of them.
All the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio
should have, but he didn't care that this individual, because of who he was being beaten at the judgment seat. Didn't care. He might be one who said, I don't care. What difference does it make to me? Not at all. Now I would hope that, that if you would find yourself in a similar situation in a public place and somebody's in distress, that you would find a cinder block, find a piece of river rock or a tree trunk or something, and intervene for the sake of the person being abused, you know? Don't walk by. Is there not an instance in the scriptures where somebody who shouldn't have passed by on the other side of the street? And who was that party? No. Huh? The priest and the Samaritan. The priest went by, he saw, he passed by. Now that's a classic passage that demonstrates what I see creeping up in our country is just this lethal form of indifference. People don't care about anything. They don't care. Now when we read there in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him for he cares for you, keep in mind what the writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews 13 verse 5, where in the latter part of that fifth verse it says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But you know, there are a couple of places in the Gospels where some disciples thought poorly of the Lord because they thought he didn't care. And sometimes God's people will start thinking like that, unnecessarily. Let me give you a couple for instances. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. And tell me if you can guess the hymn from which this springs. Or from the hymn that springs from this. 438. Mark 438. Am I in the right spot? What's going on in Mark 4? A storm.
Master.
Okay. Carest thou not that we perish? How crass is that insinuation? To ask the Lord something. Carest thou not that we perish? Well, how do you know you're gonna? A little storm? Now listen, I realize that when we think about storms, that's a literal climatological source of distress, and storms may come of different kinds into your life and mine from time to time. Don't ever get to the place, or don't ever even think that God does not care, or that you don't make any difference to him. Don't ever allow yourself that thought. There's another place. This is a little bit whiny, but in Luke chapter 10 verse 40, Luke chapter 10 verse 40. Everybody's busy, preoccupied, and there's always, of course, there's one who's sort of like sitting there drinking a Pepsi Cola, eating hamburger with their feet up, so to speak. And this might happen. Luke chapter 10 verse 40. Somebody read that. Anybody will do.
But Martha was comforted about much serving, and came to him and saith, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.
Dost thou not care? I'm all alone. Doesn't it make any difference to you, Lord, that I'm here? I'm here working my fingers to blisters, and there, look at her. Say, well, that's kind of facetious. I mean, we would never ever get to a place where we would look around us and maybe chide somebody silently because we didn't think they were pulling their share of the load. And maybe then we think, well, so what? What difference does it make? You know, if God don't care, I don't care. But then think about this. God cares. If a person believes that at all times, in every circumstance, if God cares, if he really does, then as we link that to prayer on a night like tonight, earnest, fervent prayer is founded on a belief that God does care. If you come to any other conclusion about a person's problems that you intercede for, or your own problems that you're concerned about, if you ever get to the point where you think that God does not care, prayer shrivels up, it dries up, and it does not become the norm of life. I fear for the people who have no breath in them for prayer. They're not interested. Prayer and prayer meetings, private prayer, public prayer, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference if we pray or we don't. God's going to do what God's going to do whether I pray or I don't. That's flawed theology, to say the least. He doesn't need to hear your prayers. But He utilizes your prayers just like He utilizes your personal testimony. He doesn't need you to give a testimony to a lost person. He could just fiat, just declare a person saved and it would be just fine. But He chooses to use people's mouths. Now, if you believe that, that will beget earnest, fervent prayer, according to James 5:16. If you don't believe it, if you're skeptical, then James 4:2 fits the scheme. James 4:2 fits the scheme. You have not because you, and why don't you ask? What's the focal point there? Interpersonal squabbling. You fight in war. You have not because you ask not. No prayer. But if you come to the conclusion, as the scripture says, God cares for you, and you really believe that, then this attitude of the age of indifference can be answered with that antidote that the unchangeable, eternal, invisible, loving God always is concerned about you. Always. And if He's concerned about you, what about the person next to you? Would you pray with me? Lord, deliver us from adopting the plague that seems to be rising all around us. Help us, Lord, to repudiate that kind of a spirit that would render us useless and irrelevant. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, always to assume in every circumstance that You are observing and that You are interested in the outcome. Use us, Lord, in whatever way You desire to accomplish the same, and in it bring glory to Yourself for Jesus' sake. Amen.